Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Consciousness Shift here on the Here Be Monsters Network. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and I am joined by my co-host, Gwen Barry. And today we're talking about purification and spring cleaning. It's such a good topic that you brought up today, Gwen, because even though we're not at spring yet, it's really a good thing to think about on all levels.
Well, it's an ancient Gaelic festival that is called Imbolc that honors the seed stirring the life beneath the frozen ground and the oncoming of spring. And it's also a time when we begin to, you know, traditionally do our spring cleaning because it's there's another cluster of months ahead of snow and ice and winter, but it's been so closed in for so many months. It's time for us to get everything, you know, open the doors, open the windows, air the house out, clean out the, clean the floors, clean everything up, and purify so that we pass the next couple of months through towards spring with, you know, a deeper breath.
That's so good. So good, because it also gives us something to do before spring comes. And, you know, those of us that live in cold places, you know, it's been quite some time. I don't know if I've ever been this white.
Well, it's a midwinter alliance between the solstice and the equinox, and it's referred to by many Celtic traditions and indigenous communities as a cross-quarter day. And there's a lot of witch-based traditions. We'll use the word witch because it's the one that works, right?
Nice.
A lot of old Gaelic traditions that will say this is a time when we not only cleanse and purify, we also light the fires, relight the fires, freshen up your fire. And it's also the day, it's called Brigid's Day in England and Ireland, Brigid's Day. It represents regeneration, livestock or the sustenance of life and light. And many, many goddess-based Celtic traditions. A lot of people within the spiritual community celebrate this day and her memory. She is the goddess who sits over it. I think that Selena Fox has put out, she always does, she puts out wonderful pictures of the solstice, equinox, and cross-quarter day altars, you know?
What day is it?
It was the second. It was the beginning of this week.
Nice. Yeah. Well, there is definitely a feeling of something, some sort of a renewal. I mean, I've felt that personally, and especially since we're still in Mercury retrograde, I think that's a really good sign that it can shine through the confusion that can happen.
Well, it's also called by the you know, the age of the Reformation and the age of Enlightenment and the Renaissance, and it was called Candlemas, and throughout much of Europe. And this Groundhog's Day and Candlemas are the same day. Groundhog Day, of course, is here in America. pardon me, I'm chewing a piece of menthol gum. That'll freak me out, too.
So the candle mass, everyone lights candles?
Like well, candle mass, it was originated in the 5th century to commemorate Mary's ritual purification 40 days after the birth of Jesus.
Oh.
And children would be taken to the temple in Jerusalem and presented to God by their parents. The candle mass was a day when candles were brought to the church to be blessed. So this is a month of candle making and candle burning and candle charging. Pardon me. Gosh.
It's so funny because I just got back from Philadelphia and I was gifted 2 candles. So look at that. Perfect.
And it also brings light to the world at a time of darkness.
Guy Fieri here, Carnival and I
have... You can't get through Mercury retrograde with the little bumps in the road.
Yeah, my coughing, the dog's growling, a pop-on commercial. Sorry. Elroy, come here. Come here. So, candles, and of course, all of the purifying oils and plants and little rituals we can do for ourselves. I mean, like cleaning house, you know, getting your broom and sweeping the house out. You can do that with energy and light and renew the energy of the house.
Nice. Why don't you tell a little bit, in case people don't know, how do you sweep and clean energy at the same time?
Well, you take your bath and your broom and sit with it for a little while and fill it with all the energy that you think is applicable to purify. In other words, you can sit and meditate with images of a spanking clean house, an energy that exists in it by seeing people get along and have a good time, or people just content with the winter and looking forward to the spring, and fuse that into your, with intention and even visualization, into your broom, and take your broom and begin where you would begin at a beginning in your home. And for everyone, that's a unique place to begin sweeping it out. And you can do this with a vacuum cleaner, as everybody who saw Practical Magic or even what was the one with Bette Midler knows. You can use a vacuum as a vessel. Just do the same thing. And for a lot of people, this would include both. So you can sit with it. You can infuse that energy. And as you work with the intention of sweeping all the negativity, all the doldrums, all of the that largesse that you begin to feel in winter, right out the door. And that's the original spring cleaning that people did.
That is so good. I mean, amazing that I've never thought of this nor done this before. It makes cleaning so much more fun.
Well, it's the Wiccans and many people who follow different Celtic traditions use the word in bulk to describe this day of celebration. And after you've cleaned the house out, then, of course, you reset your altar and you use items for the coming spring. If you're not someone who practices that kind of a tradition, after you've cleaned your house out, you can light some candles. White ones would be perfect, with the intention of holding the energy that you have laid down with your clean out of the house. Some simple stuff.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's great that it's simple because anybody can do it. And it really, to charge mundane tasks with divine energy just makes the whole thing more enjoyable and raises the whole vibration that you're creating while you're cleaning. And what a perfect thing to do during Mercury retrograde. I mean, I'm sure, you know.
Very helpful.
Yeah. Wow.
And during this period, we go from, well, I always see Pisces as a kind of a sign to work with during this time. On the Tree of Life, Yesed, the Sephira of Yesed, is an excellent a choice to work with. Now, that's purity, a foundation, and purifying. It redefines truth. Learning something new at this time and evolving your awareness is pretty awesome. It's at this time, we can learn a lot through our self-awareness about self-trust, too. Remember the purity factor here. some of the elements of this time of year and this festival are the moon, spirit, the sense of hearing and listening to the voice within that triggers our clairaudience is big right now.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
And one of the other qualities right now is independence. So you can work this week right around now on refining your perceptions and maintaining order by cleaning, allowing new information to come in, paying attention to your dreams and what comes into your imagination. It's also a time when we're most apt to see through people's vanity and glamour. Pardon me. Yes, it is. It surprisingly is because of that purity factor. If you're working with that energy, you come into contact with people who are just, you know, a lot of people are just so exposed they don't realize that. But there are people that surprise you. All of a sudden you realize, oh, my God, how vain.
That is so funny that you say that, because I was in Philadelphia the last few days and did a lot of clomping around the city. So, you know, I'm ready with jeans and boots and hat and ready to go wear. And so I saw this woman who had on this huge, big, fluffy, furry white coat. She was probably weighed about 4 pounds. And as she got closer, I saw her makeup was just flawless, but trying to look like she didn't have makeup on. I was like, whoa, honey, that must have taken a while. And she has these huge high heels, and she's clomping along, and she gave me the weirdest look, like almost like she was ashamed or something. And I was like, wow, oh, it's strange. She put all that work into it. I was like, maybe she feels ridiculous. And maybe she would really rather have on shoes like mine, flat and comfortable, and, you know, not putting that much effort into it. And I was like, wow, it seems like a turnaround for people that, you well, know, I'm what's laughing. Really mattering here?
I'm laughing because, first of all, you are at a time of life when you are peaking in your beauty, and you look good. Yeah, I'm not trying to build you up with glamour here, honey. I'm just saying, I mean, you've had the last couple of years, how many different photographers, because you are an actress. You do work that way whenever the opportunity arises. So you have to have these tools of the trade. And for you to recount an experience like that tells you a lot. I mean, I've seen you with and without makeup. I've seen pictures of you with and without. And right now, you do justice on both. You look pretty much the same. Now, someone like that who's contriving beauty is using glamour and the ancient term applied there, using glamour, which was used to distract people from what was truly there. Mm-hmm. And the definition of beauty has always been whatever was genuine to appreciate. And when you talk about that, it's like that's a prime example of the glamoring and seeing through it.
Wow.
walk with honor these days, baby, because you're in the zone. But I see women in their 60s who are in the zone.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in New York. And they are, yes, some of them are real fashion plates, and there's nothing wrong with that. but others are just like the artist who has all of her accoutrement wrapped around her and is gliding through the streets with the knowledge of where she's going and what she's going to do. A fierce, independent, creative woman who is just as glamorous, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's part of this cleaning up of ourself and our surrounding, like even in the way that we present ourselves, even to ourselves, you know, what we choose to put on, not put on when we walk out the door. And I find that if it's mostly about comfort, and comfort also means, you know, I like this top, it looks good on me, or
right,
it's great, yeah, got the right vibe or the right color that I'm feeling right now. And whatever that is what it is. And I'm finding more and more that it really is about confidence. You can pull anything off. I mean, the hipsters show us that, right? What is going on?
It's true. And there's no push, for me personally, there's no push me, pull me about the fashion plates. Say, Anna, oh God, what's her last name? You know, the Devil Wears Prada.
Not Meryl Streep.
Anna, you'll see Meryl Streep sans makeup more than any other actress in photos. But, oh gosh, you know, Anna, she's the editor of Vogue. And she's definitely a fashion plate. Many people would say her values are someplace south of where they should be in this world as it's, you know, boiling down to nothing. But I don't agree with that. I think that she offers, you know, what I can remember the line in that movie where she says, you know, you think it's laughable, but the color that is out of Vogue that you are wearing in that sweater put how many hundreds of thousands of people to work, both in this country and countries abroad, and the color choice was made by the people who put this all together and create fashion. And she had an absolute point about that. And I think this is a part of the goddess, very much so. And I do think that it's important, like you said, it's about being comfortable, but walking out feeling that you look good, you look right, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all part of fashion too. And fashion is the goddess, and the goddess energy is what we're trying so fiercely right now to reestablish an anchor on the planet to bring back some balance so that we can heal it. And every side of women needs to be looked at and personally identifiable for each woman so that they can make better choices, you know?
Yeah.
From fashion play to, like me, in cowboy boots and jeans and jackets for years and years. I had cashmere blazers, you know?
But you didn't want to wear them.
And for the rest of my life, I did. Then I started wearing, I prefer the, what do you call it? The, I always love my army shirts, and I have these jackets I wear that are jacket shirts that are, you know, epaulettes and jungle fatigue looking, but cut for women, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like the neighbor jackets that Rantha wears. I love those. but then again, there are people. I dress more, I think my mother called it tailored.
Mm-hmm.
I've always dressed like a tomboy. but I've also dressed when I had to. In the last 20 years, how many times I've worn a dress or shirt, I can count on one hand, though. It's true.
So, yeah, so we have the way we present ourselves. And I think that has to do with also the way that we, what we've let go of in ourselves, and just being in the moment also, and accepting whatever, you know, whatever our body is doing. I mean, between being winter, and also I heard some very interesting news from this new guy I've been listening to. He really resonates with me. His name is Matt Kahn, K-A-H-N. I've been meaning to send him to you, actually. And he's saying that we are going from a carbon body to a crystalline body. And we're having this changeover of kind of like the different engines, you know, but the south and the north, kind of a... And so it's a brand new idea to me. And
yes, I'm getting brand new myself, a crystalline... I'm imagineering with the crystalline body.
Yeah.
Wow. But then again, if you take a look at the light body and the Merkaba technology, that's been there in the background all along, hasn't it? Does he mention any of that?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Hey, I was on the street.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about the crystalline body? Because that definitely has to do with cleaning, spring cleaning and purification.
Well, the crystalline body is, you know what I go to with it most often is DNA. Do you follow right. where I went there?
Yep.
Now, I'm not someone who's huge on Merkaba technology, although I know how to use it. Just I use it instinctually, you understand, with geometric visualizations and using light technology to visualize over my body. But liquid crystals are a part of unification between our subtle and physical interfacing mechanism. And it enables frequency-specific vibrational and flower essences to heal us through ingestion or topical application. So the liquid crystals, which are very physical and can be, you know, detected by science, are basically the interface between homeopathic and light healing technology and body. They're biocrystalline structures on physical levels, and they have their partners like the twin photon on subtle levels. Have I jumped into a territory that's way too far out there?
Well, not for me. I mean, I think right now, working with all these things, Merkaba and all these words, it's really about the feeling that comes with it. You don't have to know exactly what everything is. So I think it's good to throw these things out there, even if people don't necessarily get it, all of it. I mean, what does that even mean?
In a very simplistic description, Merkaba is a light body geometric construction of light body that people create to assist themselves in evolving their conscious awareness. And basically a Merkaba looks exactly like the three-dimensional aspect of a tetragrammaton, or what some people feel is called the Star of David. And it is essentially one pyramid representing the female vessel on the bottom, or the upside down pyramid that is the female symbol, and it represents the cup that runneth over, let's put it that way, and the male pyramid, which is upright, which is above. And when you merge these two, you get the Star of David. And that is a light exercise and activation of a Merkaba body around you. Did I say that clearly?
Very well.
So if you visualize a pyramid upside down beneath you as you're sitting and meditating, and that three-dimensional pyramid beneath you is also spinning slowly because there's always motion in a Merkaba. And you fill it up with light energy to define it beneath you. And then you bring down with light a pyramid above you that is 3D and that you fill with light. And you merge the two of them equally right in you, right on and over and through you, and allow them to spin. It's a very, very empowering and awakening meditation to do.
Yeah, just thinking about it, it's making me sit up straight.
Well, always remember, too, that when you're filling the pyramid beneath you, the feminine vessel, that you're bringing the energy out of the heart of the Earth Mother to fill it. And when you're filling the male pyramid or vessel above you with light energy, you can bring it down directly from the sun and fill it with that. And so those two whirling pyramids converge and unify within one another, creating that Star of David look, but in that four-dimensional expression. And it's whirling as a part of you and your light body. That's huge.
Yeah.
It takes some practice. It's like the metapella. It takes some practice.
Yeah.
And yet it awakens and it brings more ability to work with those liquid crystals that we were talking about that are the interface between the physical and the light body you.
Is what it's all about right now, isn't it?
Yeah, that and turning the brain on.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, well, that's wonderful. That's a good tool for the toolbox.
By the way, if you go over to Daughters of Isis and you go into the Flower Essences page, you'll see the quantum flower essence, light body essences. You click in there, you'll find crystalline aligning essence. And that's a really wonderful vibrational application to use to work with to do all of this.
And then if you do that and then you vacuum, I mean, do you put your place on a whole other plane of existence? That's amazing.
And when you're doing all of this, it's really important to remember to keep the place grounded, because with all of this light and energy, you can tend to flip between dimensions, you know, get a little otherworldly.
Right.
And so to keep it grounded, this is where crystals come in and stones come in very positively, again, in minerals, because you can use smoky crystals, black tourmaline, hematite, to place in your home and renew them at the same time to ground the energy and yet keep the energy present in this presence. Because that's important, you know?
It sure is. And definitely part of the balance and practice that a lot of us are doing, myself very much included, is going farther and farther into the consciousness or the cosmos or the meditation, visualization, and then having that also translate into when you start moving around after your meditation and having that ground together, which sometimes if I go too fast with, I get a headache that doesn't go away until I sleep it off that night. So
yeah. Grounding is very important. Also, take a listen to Taylor Swift's Shake It Off. You know, that'll help you, you know, ground, you know, do a little dance.
Right.
Shake It Off. I like that song.
Yeah, me too. Nice. So what else with, I see that we have a caller, but I would like to get some more of the ideas for Embolic to In bulk.
Yeah, I did it too for years.
Yeah, so
some of the other signs of the times. Listen, this is a time, especially with the Mercury in retrograde for a few more days now, illusions are out there. What you think you're seeing isn't always what you're going to get, you know? So the illusionary experience is out there. And it's a continued time in getting past that for divination. But sexuality is usually high during this time of the year. A lot of children are conceived at this time. Well, you know, indoors and everything, but after you spring clean and stuff, everything's feeling fresh and new and, you know, it gets the hang up. This is also a time, too, that being able to tap into your third eye ability, because with that cleaning off of energy, there seems to be a need to plug into other realms, other worlds. That's why grounding is so important. But for those who practice meditation and who have their own little, meditations and practices of how they tap into their own psychism and charting the astral plane, finding out what's going on there, is something that the shamanic practice of is very popular at this season in the Northern Hemisphere. So a lot of indigenous communities have moon times now that are dedicated to, you know, seeing what's on the many levels between what's happening here and what's happening around us on dimensions.
Wow, all right. So if you're feeling a little spacey or you're feeling a little like there's a lot more information or you're kind of walking on clouds, that's why. And the grounding.
Some of the essential oils right now that are good to use, going with the cleansing first of nutmeg and wild chamomile. It softens the strength of the nutmeg, the wild chamomile. And a blend of jasmine with lang lang brings a higher vibration up. So,
good.
Those are really, really good oils to work with. Or you could get Yesod oil over at Daughters of Isis.
Nice. Wonderful. Daughtersofisis.com. All right. Should we open the mic up and see?
Sure.
Area code 720. Your mic is live if you'd like to join in.
Hello, ladies. This is Ibitar. This is Ibitar. How are you?
Hi, Ibitar.
Ibitar, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well. I was listening to you online, and then I decided to call in.
Great. So do you know about the embolic? Did I say it right?
In bulk, but in bulk. It's also spring cleaning, and there's a lot of festivals and holy days that come at this time, Candlemas. There's a lot of different ways to celebrate, but it's basically, in the Northern Hemisphere, spring cleaning.
Do you do anything like that, Ibitar?
Not in a ritualistic kind of way. I was really drawn to call in because, you know, I do a lot of grounding every day, just about every day, you know, for myself, and I really, really have to do that because I'm in and out of dimensions all the time. But she had mentioned how, you know, in terms of grounding the house, and I was more interested in, because I do have a lot of crystals, and I don't have the crystals all over the house, but I have them mostly like upstairs in my loft, you know, around my office and in my bedroom. So I was kind of interested in, you know, wanting to know more about what you were saying about grounding the house.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
There's a number of things that I do you know, as far as shifting the energy in the house, I have this recipe for Oregon generators, so I'm going to be making some of those to help deflect some of the you know, the energy that we just getting from everywhere and put around the house.
Oh, go ahead, Gwen.
So,
pick it up.
So the question would be, how would you ground things?
Well, you mentioned something about grounding the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I do house cleaning, or in other words, I go in and I clean houses for folks, energetically speaking. And the first thing I do, besides put myself in space and call my guides, because sometimes I'm like needing them to keep me from running away.
Yeah.
A kind of a joke, but not really. What I do is I visualize, I've used that Merkaba technology, visualization technology, to ground the space around the house while I'm working, and that's an excellent thing to do. You can use that Merkaba technology to bring it to a halt and ground it right there in your home and keep that anchor to the Earth Mother's heart very alive. Just, you know, all it takes is that visualizing thought before you go to work, you know. I also think that what I do to my own home is to white light the boundaries and to make sure those boundaries I have, you know, you can use in your own mind's eye. You can call upon those archetypical energies that are very grounding, say, whatever your favorite goddess is, your favorite god form, or even cosmic energies. And say, you know, this is a grounded place where we, you know, I think everybody has to use their own instincts and their own little prayers to ground themselves. But just understand that your intention is to keep things in place so that things aren't willy-nilly from other directions. Am I being clear?
So good. Personal is good.
Personal is very good, yes. And also, like you said, you have some wonderful crystals and minerals to help you along. This is the right time of year to recharge and to cleanse crystals and recharge them, and especially those grounding ones. And, you know, people use different things. I use the ones that, you know, I'll read the properties on and I'll feel them and work with them and come to a conclusion. One of the great, I don't know if anybody is aware of these, but I like bringing them up from time to time. There are these wonderful stones that are from Arizona called Boji stones. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Uh-uh. How do you spell that?
B-O-J-I.
Hmm.
And
okay.
They're these mineralized and stones naturally occurring in these piles. They form from the crystals and metals in the land nearby, and they're magnetic. And there's female and male ones. They usually sell them in pairs as healing stones. I actually have one that is fused together with two stones, one female, one male. I'll post a picture of it later on the web, on Facebook or something. But those stones are wonderful because the metal holds them to earth because they're heavy earth metals, you know, that are healing in their nature. And those kinds of stones, using your instinct, like for me, the Boji. For you, it may be, goodness knows, a citrine quartz or a tiger's eye or a, you know, sodalite These stones, whatever you're drawn to and feel resonance with, can be very useful and helpful in creating that ground anchor that keeps things in place, strong enough that you can charge your crystals for other tools and for other purposes that, you know, climb the different dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Good answer. Right?
Yeah, when you're doing a house cleansing, when you look into a person's home, are you looking for entities, or are you just looking for imbalances and energies in whatever form they may present themselves in?
I open myself and my third eye, or my vision, to seeing what is there to be cleaned. That's always my intention. What is here to be cleaned? Because oftentimes, I mean, people have guides and all kinds of experiences that are with them that sometimes look like a nodule in their etheric body, but are really something that is a healing element for them. We don't often talk about that, especially with healers. They talk about entities and clearing them, but there's oftentimes nodules that are there in the etheric body that are a package of goodness that somebody holds in reserve for when they need it most. Do you understand? A memory has that kind of life to it in your quantum field. Oh, you heal, you see these things. So I consider that a house is just like that, you know. It has its little wonderfulnesses that are there too. And when I go to clean somebody's home, my intention is to be able to see what the problem is and to be guided by my guides and my own instincts and my own knowledge on how to get rid of it, whether it's by smudging or whether it's by asking for help from other, you know, guides or whatever. So that's pretty much how I approach it. And when I'm finished, I ground the house and leave a white light boundary.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of chimneys?
Chimneys? No.
Yeah. They're unseen. They're called chimneys. You know, I've heard of, you know, someone mentioned chimneys before, and it's like they're put there in certain people's homes, but they don't know, the person don't know that they're there, and, you know, and I guess it's a form of control or something like that. But, you know, in my home, you know, this property is, I mean, the energy in here is pretty good. The problem that I have in this place that I'm living at now is that I call them mazes, you know, where, okay, this energy is generated from wherever this energy is generated from. It's not there all the time. I'll give you an example. Just say, like, I'm in the kitchen, and the energy being generated in the kitchen is like a maze, and when I walk in there, I'm walking into this maze. It's an energy field, and it's affecting my body. So, say for instance, I walk into this maze, and whoever created the maze, if they want to tap into my body or my aura or whatever, they have access because they've created the maze that I'm walking. Does that make any sense?
Well, I can understand, I think, what you're saying. You're being, it's another word, kind of like a psychic attack.
Yeah. But okay. It's physical. Mm-hmm. And see, they have all this high-tech technology now where they can attack you in so many ways. I mean, it's just off the roof in terms of this technology that they've developed for control. And so I experience a lot of that. So I have to transmute energy almost on a daily basis. I have to actually, like you do, go into, you know, different dimensions and actually transmute that energy.
I'm wondering, what, can you be more clear about technology? You're talking about the chimney thing, the chimney?
Well, I don't really know about the chimney. That's why I asked you if you knew about it.
But
what
okay.
I'm talking, yeah, what I'm talking about now, when I say a maze, this is someone somewhere else, maybe, you know, in a different spot that has the technology, whatever technology it is, and they can create a maze where when you walk into a room, you walk into this energy field.
Well, Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And when you walk into this energy field, then you can feel whatever it is. It's pulling on your energy. It's pulling on your body. And if they want to tap into my body, they can tap into it. If they want to tap into my energy field, they can tap into it. I've been experiencing this for a very long time, and that's why I can speak about it. I'm sure it happens to other people too, but they're just not consciously aware of it. So what I have to do a lot of times, I have to transmute the energy so it doesn't, you know, continue to affect me.
Well, in my own terminology, I would say it's psychic attack, and it's been directed or guided to you by one person or others together in a group. Does that make sense
right.
to define
yeah,
this?
Yeah, that's exactly what
technology.
It is. That's exactly what it is.
In my experience, this is just me, and I've been attacked, and I see the validity in what you're saying and what you're describing. It is always experientially. This is my experience. It is one will or several wills against your own, and this is what you're dealing with, is creating within yourself the understanding that nobody may enforce their will on you unless you choose it. Now, I've chosen it because I wanted to, you know, frankly, I said, right, show me. Ask Nick, this is one of my bylines. Sure, show me. And you get whacked that way. I did. I definitely did. I went through it. It was a couple of people, directed energy. They used old-fashioned magic to do it. And it did affect me, terribly so. It was also a lesson I asked to learn. I understood that the minute I understood that, and the minute I used my own energy. I'll tell you what I did. I actually got up out of bed and got into a shower and used an old trick my old buddy Asa Hoffman taught me, which was to white light and violet light the shower water and let it penetrate me. And the minute I started doing that, it was lifted. Because
wow, I'm going to do that one day. Because I work with that light too, but I never did it in the shower.
Use your imagination. And you know what? The more you use and create your own, quote, technology, the stronger you are. You know, I can throw
right.
up a string of fire around me quicker than slipping on, catch shit on linoleum. I just like
yeah.
that. I can do it. I've learned to do it because I practiced it. But I also learned a valuable lesson, which is, do I really want to attract this? And what was my behavior or thought to attract it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, and I suspect probably for yourself, it's about learning
yeah,
what
exactly.
it's really there, that it really can happen.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Trust
right.
your own.
And you too. And you're absolutely right. And that's why I don't take it personal, even though it's uncomfortable sometimes. You know, I don't take it personal, and I do send out a lot of unconditional love. I do a lot of things, you know, with the experience and the energy. And it has helped me to evolve, and it has helped me to learn I mean, when I say learn, I mean things that a person probably would never in a million years even believe, let alone understand, you know. And I also realize that this is not something that's just happening to me. It's happening to millions and millions of other people. But they may not be able to articulate it. They may not know it. And like you said, you know, I believe that some aspects of it, it was part of a learning lesson that I needed for my own healing and to be able to reach back. And if somebody comes to me and say, you know, this is happening, that's happening, and won't write them off and think that they're loony or, you know, crazy or something wrong with them.
I would interject here, too, that, yes, you're right. We all affect one another, the pebble in the pond. We can choose what we allow. And this is why some of the most vibrant and necessary, though they would never use the term and probably not understand it in many cases, but most valuable light workers on the planet are therapists. Because they, good ones, ask people to open the book of themselves and begin to read with honesty and without illusion. Once we know ourselves, and indeed, in most mystery schools and indigenous shamanic communities, the first step in the enduring process that we go through as a practitioner is knowing ourselves. Know thyself. Know thyself. And you can use anything, any visualization that is strong for you, it's going to work. Because remember, when it's psychic attack, and believe me, it can be a whole lot more profound when practitioners who know how to use the, quote, technology begin to direct it at you, yes. When that happens, you know, spirit's saying to you, you want to play with the big boys? Okay, climb up on the stool and we'll go at it here. Let's learn and grow. Once you develop that awareness, it's a fearlessness in many ways, you know. But that fearlessness eventually translates into knowing thyself.
Mm-hmm. And also cultivating your own gifts that's been there, but maybe lying dormant or whatever.
Yeah,
because I know I am like 10 times stronger and more aware of my own abilities and gifts since I moved in this place.
Wow.
So that's why I said I don't take it personal anymore. But at the same time, you know, people are who they are. They do whatever, you know, they feel that's in their reality. And I've just learned how to just, you know, love unconditionally and not take this stuff personal, but at the same time, like you said, set up some boundaries and learn how to say, look, this is what time it is. You're not going to be coming in and, you know, sucking on my energy and invading my space without my permission.
Yeah, it's true. There's ways of doing that become everyday principle that you flow with, and you're not taken by surprise. And if you are taken by surprise, you know, uh-oh, there's something I need to know here. You know what I'm saying? Your level of awareness rises.
It sure does. It sure does. And I'm, as you know, I'm at peace with my own being. And like you said, there's so much more that I'm learning remembering about my divinity and what it is that I have, not just for me, but you know, for others, you know, the planet and, you know, this whole of this universe, because we're all connected, everything is connected. And what it has done, like I said, it just strengthened me in a lot of ways. And I, you know, I don't know how, you know, these other beings or entities or people feel, but I thank them for helping me, you know, to evolve in, you know, on my path. And they don't consciously, I don't think they consciously know that they're being a contributor to my own evolution, you know. I think for them, it, you know, it may be a form of control, you know, or a psychic attack or whatever you might want to call it, but they don't, I don't think they consciously know how they're helping me to evolve into a much, you know, higher frequency by invading my space.
That's quite true, and this all goes to purification. The cleaner our knowledge is, the better off we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we have 5 minutes left, and so I'm so glad that you called in, Batara. It's very interesting. Got a lot of good answers out of Gwen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad
well,
I called in,
too. What about you, Nick? How do you cleanse that energy that's been directed in your...
Well, I do relate because I think when you first start to realize that you are intuitive and you are feeling things and you are seeing things, and then it can become a lot of like, what do I do with this? But the best is being totally into your own white light and your own self and filling yourself, I guess, that Merkaba with the two pyramids, filling that with all your love and light, and then you walk with that, and then you don't really, you can see when people are doing things, but after a while, do you have to see it? You know, they can do whatever they want. It's irrelevant to what you're doing because you're all love and light. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And always the reflection of you not being bothered and nothing happens in your field, you know, can teach them a lot about, well, what am I doing? Am I working with something lower than this person is? And then there's a lot of growth for that person, too. So
I think I
always think of being filled with love and light as my ability to forgive, because I'm not always filled with love and light.
Sure. I mean, it's whatever you want, you know.
We talked about that earlier this week. Spirit salami.
Yeah, but you know what? That is part of love and light. It doesn't matter. You don't have to love and light everybody. You don't have to love and light everything. But it's your own personal love and light that you have for yourself, your own
there
love
you
and light.
Go. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, you can feel all kinds of way. We're human. I mean, that's part of our discernment. You can't get rid of that. It's also personality. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yourself, that's the most powerful, is yourself, and that includes your divine nature. So, you know, nobody's messing with that.
Yeah, because when I first became aware, you know, and being able to see and feel it all, I was definitely not filled with no love and light for wherever it was coming from. So I have come a long way in that regard, because I wasn't feeling no love and light for them.
Right.
I hear you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're down to 90 seconds, so... Thank you, everybody, and maybe we can pick up a little bit. Well, next week is Valentine's Day. I don't know. People might be busy, but it would be nice if we could do something about love. I mean, Valentine's Day doesn't mean much to me except love. More love of everyday love, you know. So.
Well, why don't we talk about where Valentine's Day comes?
What'd you say, Gwen?
Where's Valentine's comes from?
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
Okay.
So then we'll see you next week. And thank you again, Avatar, for your wonderful questions and insights. And best of love and light to you. And everyone else.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, Gwen, see you next week. And everyone, thank you so much for listening.
Have a great week.
Yeah. Peace and love.
White camp.